This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. Have hearts of stone.
And welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano joined by Carson.
Well, here's the deal. I told Frank I'm going to be a little late at 11. He said, hey, I got Bobby Plager. We can talk. Don't worry. You take your time. And I said, we're coming from Rocket Camp. And Frank said, sure, sounds good. And I thought, I needed to bring
in
some.
I said,
we're bringing in visual evidence. So not only did we bring in the rockets in my backpack over there, I also have the rocket launcher. And we're leaving, and the teacher said, whatever you do, make sure that thing doesn't get real heated because it could go off. So I'm like, I can't leave it in my car with the backup camera. So I have a rocket launching device.
For the hot takes could.
They could literally explode here today. My fear is my next road trip, I'm going to be going through TSA, and they're like, sir, can you open your backpack? Is this a form of dynamite in your backpack? So Carson's job is to remind Dad that I've got the equivalent of dynamite in my backpack.
Wait a minute, correct? Bob wants to add something to this.
The explosive Bob Plager.
Well, I got to get out here because my whole career, they said, that guy's no rocket scientist. Right.
We've replaced you with a potential. And let's be honest, Frank, our kids, maybe there's hope, but our kids are probably not going pro in any of the major sports. You never know. So I'm fine. If we've got a rocket scientist,
that's
would
right.
Be just fine.
What do you like better, rocket camp or maybe like a soccer game that you're playing in?
Rocket camp.
All right. There you go.
See, Mr. Frank has been coached a little bit. I told him, though, do we have an agreement that you're going to play soccer in third grade next year?
Maybe.
Nice.
But you're
so
going to be a chance.
He's not
to
here to announce his retirement from soccer.
A chance to hang with your buddies, right?
I guess.
And to kick the ball around. Maybe do a nutmeg. Would it kill you to do a nutmeg for your dad?
That's his one soccer term. He's going back to that all the time.
You realize Bill McDermott's listening right now? You will play soccer, and you will enjoy it. Tell Mr. Frank your favorite sport.
Baseball.
Nice.
Baseball? Oh,
mm-hmm.
Very good. Good call.
And we went to the game the other night. What was the highlight of the Cardinal game the other night? Mike Schilt's not listening. Say whatever you want. What was the highlight?
Having fun.
Having fun.
Did
there you go.
Did he buy you anything?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
what'd you have?
Treats or?
Like, they have like the small little deep fried donuts kind of thing.
Oh, good call. Yes.
Fingers donuts.
I'm like, these are mine. Did you want one? No, we had Dippin' Dots. They don't do funnel cake anymore, but the deep fried donuts are the equivalent.
That's a good move.
Are you tired from Rocket Camp? I did tell him we'd get some shakes here at Oberweis. I said, we'll make a run here. Maybe we'll have Charlie pick him up because Frank probably doesn't want one.
Frank owes me one, so you can hand it
That's
off
right.
to
Carson. Pass it
I'm
over.
I'm going to owe you two now. What's our score? I'm getting beat by you.
It's a little bit of a slaughter, 10-1.
Wow.
Dumpster Fire Ball Club is certainly putting on a good two-day showing here. So,
nice.
Or 3 days, I guess it was.
All right, before we get into, do you have any more questions for the non-cooperative? This is the quietest you've ever been. Rocket Camp took it all out of him. It was pretty cool, though, the launching. We've got the two rockets here. We get to bring one home and launch it over the weekend. So beware.
Okay, before we get to this real quickly, Bob Plager just told an unbelievable story that I can sum it up in about 20 seconds, or maybe 30 seconds. Is that Mike Keenan wanted to trade Brett Hull, and he told Bob Plager, I'm going to do this. So they go to tell the ownership, we're going to make this deal. And ownership said, no, we're not going to trade Brett Hull. And Mike Keenan said, look at my contract. We can trade Brett Hull. I can do what I want. So the only way they could prevent him from trading Brett Hull is to fire Mike Keenan. And they owed him like $8 or $9 million. So they had to fire Mike Keenan to stop Brett Hull from being traded. Now, the thing about it is they would have got Sergei Gonchar, who had played in 4 All-Star games, Jason Allison, who scored 36 goals in the season, and then Richard Zednik in this deal. And they also wouldn't have had to trade to get the Tkachuks and the Doug Waits, and they would have had these good players. So Bob contends that if they would have made that move, maybe they would have had a Stanley Cup earlier.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Although, the legend of Brett Hull grows because it got rid of Keenan.
That's true.
And I think a lot of folks were ready for that.
Bob is one of the few people who actually really defends Mike Keenan. I think Keenan really listened to Bob, and Bob would tell him, you know, you're wrong about this, or make this trade. And so.
Well, we've had some interesting Mikes, right? Mike Keenan, Mike Martz, Mike Matheny.
Well, they're all controversial.
Now we've got Mike Schilt, who has not been controversial, but Plowsy, if we have the... This is the audio. A lot of folks talking about it today. Mike Schilt defending his squad before yesterday's game. Hit that lever, Plowsy.
There's parallels there. Look, they won a championship in our city. We want to enjoy it, embrace it.
Talking about the Blues.
I think the organic relationship that's already there with our players is probably the best way for it to happen. I don't need to ask him to trot in and, you know, give a five-minute speech about how they won the Stanley Cup. You know, they've already texted with each other and shared and celebrated each other. So, you know, and candidly, I'd like to think that some of those guys, you know, have used over the couple years some of the experiences from this clubhouse. So there's parallels. You always want to appreciate and study how teams won things at the end. You know, I think it's a bit of a reach to say that, you know, we're going to mirror that story in a sense of where they were. I mean, you know, I get it. Look, you know, there probably wasn't as much – I didn't feel like there was a lot of credit for this team when we were the best team in baseball. You know, there wasn't a lot of people saying a lot of tremendously positive things about us. And candidly, it feels like when we hit a stretch, it's like, man, here we go. I just don't understand the mentality. I get it. Look, you know, we're two and a half games out of first place. And I swear it feels like we're walking around and, like, we haven't done a thing right. I literally scratch my head about it every day. And people say, oh, this guy's a blind optimist. I'm as realistic a person as you want to meet. I get the fact we got to hit better. I get the fact our starting pitching's got to be better. At some point, a little bit of appreciation or a little bit of, you know, it's. I guess what I'm getting at for the group and maybe for myself as well, and you look up and you win a series on the road against the Marlins, and then you go to New York and you win 3 out of 4. And you come back in all three, and you come back and fight like heck for the fourth one. And then you come back and you split a series with the Marlins in really good games. And then you win 2 out of 3 against Anaheim. And the last game that we actually lost, because I hate to break it to people, it's going to happen this year occasionally. And we don't want it to happen. Don't misinterpret. And we're down 6-0 with 2 outs and nobody on the ninth and have the winning run of the plate. And it's like, man, you guys are going to put it together. You guys are going to get there. What do you got to do? Like, well, I don't know. You know, we're the best base running team in baseball. We don't give up a lot of free things. You know, this town, I've always thought, appreciated good, clean baseball and effort. We can't play much cleaner, and we can't give much more effort than what we're given. And so, you know, would we like to string it together and with our starting pitching a little bit more consistently? Yes. Would we like to score more runs and that be the difference maker? Absolutely. Long answer to your question, and maybe not exactly the answer you're looking for, but it provided me an opportunity. You know, the fact of the matter is a good team that is achieving in a lot of different ways, and you want to appreciate that, and we are not going to put our head in sand on the fact that we got to score more runs. But I'm not going to sit there and say that this is a team that's like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with this team? This is a very tough division. It's a very tough competitive league now, and we'd love to be 10 games over and, you know, partying like rock stars. We'll do it at some point, and I guess I just want to make sure that people appreciate where we're coming from and know that I care about this team and the proverbial have their backs, because they've done a lot of really things well, and I'd like to see that rewarded occasionally.
So, Frank, that's the opening monologue, laps 1 through 10.
That's tough.
No. Well, let's just use that so people know what was said in its entirety, and then let's get into 5 for Frank. Possibly. Sorry.
Time to tee up the hot quicker, topics. Quicker. It's 5 for Frank. Brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution just 45 miles from St. Louis.
All right, Frank, what's your level of surprise that Schilt, would you call it a mini rant? You think that's fair? It's not a rant. He's not Hal McRae. He's not throwing things. Sounds very defensive, but... What's your level of surprise he kind of went there right now?
Yeah, there was really no need to do that. There really wasn't. Because they're not getting killed. I mean, people are being honest that it's a mediocre baseball team, you know, that's got a lot of holes, that does some things well. They're not getting killed, and I think part of it is because of his likable personality. I mean, it's basically the same team as under Mike Matheny, but Matheny got killed more for it because he wasn't as outgoing and as accessible as
as Shilt is.
Well, that's what surprises me. I don't know where it's coming from. And he did say, hey, listen, we've got to hit better. We've got to pitch better. Well, those are two big ones that have people. I'd say the level of the fan base borders between apathy, because they feel it's been the same for a while, and frustration. But I don't see, there's no column saying this is the worst team I've ever seen. I'm not sure where it's coming from. That's what I don't get.
And throwing the fan base, I don't know if it was the fan base, baseball writers, both locally and nationally. I'm not for sure exactly who was trying to pinpoint, but the team's boring. I mean, as much as you want to try to sugarcoat it, look at the standings and throw some base running or defensive stats, that is fine. But don't say we don't appreciate. We shove 40,000 people in Busch Stadium a night. You made the playoffs in three seasons.
Yeah,
you're third in the stand. You know, you're kind of in that middle to below in the standings the last 3 years. I mean, we appreciate good baseball, but we also kind of realize what this team is missing, and that's offense.
And there's a percentage on social media who are ripping the Cardinals to death, but that's the same percentage who don't think that Joe Buck is a good broadcaster, think that Bob Costas stinks, and, you know. Those people just hate everything.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. He said, and I read, there's the quote, you heard it there, and then I read the commissioner's article last night, and he said, I had somebody come up to me and say, your team is boring. I just find that hard to believe. I mean, is that at the grocery store? Who says your team is boring? I mean, is that a reporter? I have not heard. We've said
no, a reporter wouldn't say that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I find that hard to believe that somebody would come up to Mike Shilt and say, your team is boring. Although, if I'm not questioning his integrity. If he said, somebody said
it. Or the veracity of that statement.
Well, I'm just wondering, like, who said that? Like, what kind of person? Like, even when you were down on Matheny and you saw him at the gas station, you said, your lineup stinks. I mean, maybe some people have the guts or the balls to do it, but I would think most people wouldn't say that. I'm just surprised somebody would actually say it. It sounds to me what he is responding to is what's on Twitter and what's on sports radio.
Yeah, which is the worst thing a manager could possibly do.
Because it's not the fans in the stands, and we're there enough days to know the type of questions, the line of questioning. It's not overly negative, although he did say, I get asked, what's going on with your team? Well, I think when the hitting has been as bad as it is, that does keep getting asked, even if you win a couple series here and there. But I just don't see this overall negativity that he's responding to.
And Frank brings up a good point, like you always do, Frank. Go. Give me a bell.
Thank you.
The timing of this rant doesn't seem to fit exactly how the team is playing. I mean, he kind of buried himself on the ground when he talked about, oh, well, we split the series against Miami, one of the worst teams in baseball. Oh, we won that series in Miami. Again, that's the worst team in baseball. You talk about Anaheim, the Mets. I mean, You're talking about splitting a series with Miami Marlins, who get 1,500 people in the stands. You could name three people on the roster, and you're trying to say that a split series, we should appreciate that. That, to me, is just you're wanting fans to accept mediocre baseball, and they won't do that.
Yeah, and here's one other thing, is that I like the swagger at the end that, hey, we're going to show you, and we're going to be...
Yeah.
But I got to tell you something. I don't know if this roster will, you know, make that statement prophetic.
Yeah.
See, it's one thing, like, if you got a loaded team that's really good and, hey, we are coming, we're going to be scared. But, boy, I don't know. I mean, maybe Ponce de Leon is going to be an unbelievable starter and they can figure this thing out. But, boy, I don't know.
And then he made a comparison to Whitey Ball. This team does not remind me of Whitey Ball. And part of it is baseball right now is struggling with boring, long games. Oh, guys absolutely. Swinging for the fences. Everybody's either striking out, and La Russa's talked about it, putting the ball in play. Dave Duncan always pitch to contact at certain times, put the ball in play. Baseball right now is struggling with that. It's not just a Cardinal critique. I don't think we're watching Whitey Ball. I'm sorry. I respect Mike's baseball acumen, but I think that's a misread also to kind of lump it in like we're playing Whitey Ball.
Yeah, Terry Pendleton's not at third. Ozzie's not at short. Tommy Herr's not playing second. There's not Vince Coleman in left and Willie McGee in center and Andy Van Slyke in right.
I mean, I realize the bottom of the order, you know, is typically in baseball always supposed to be a little weak. But talk about the epitome of boring baseball. No offense to the – Wong's a fantastic defender, so is Bader. Wong, Bader, the pitcher, and then Tommy Edman. That's your 7-1. Like, there's just no stretch of baseball in that lineup that really scares you. The names sometimes do. But they don't pick it up all at once. It's not like the offense is hitting. Ozuna dominating, but then you got Goldschmidt struggling, DeYoung struggling, Bader hasn't found it yet.
I don't know. I've started to look through the numbers, and I wasn't going to back up the premise of this argument last night about total hits by a team. Because every time I just look at the Cardinals, I always think, you know what? There's a minor issue here. They don't get enough base hits, okay? I'm going to have Brian look at this because it's going to be too technical for me to figure out. because I was looking at total hits. But the Cardinals have to lead the baseball world in most games with like six hits or fewer. You know, it just seems like there's so many of these games like that. There are teams with fewer hits than the Cardinals, I'll grant you that. But not six hits or fewer, I don't think.
Any chance that Schilt looks at his team and he sort of agrees with the vibe on the radio and Twitter that it's kind of lackluster, it's kind of boring, and he thought, you know what, I'm going to try and create some headlines. It's not totally his personality, but maybe he thought, you know what, I'm going to step out there and kind of stir it up a little bit. Do you think there's any part of him that thought this would be the move to kind of get the players a little jolt? Say, hey, I got you guys.
It's just not the right time. And like I'll bring back that you're trying to defend your argument by saying a split series at home against Miami is a good thing. It's not a good thing. Yeah. I mean,
well, at the time they were
optics, baby.
So they were 9-6 over their last 15. Going as he's making those comments, they were 4-4 on the homestand. I think it's the Bill Parcells, isn't it? It's your record. You're 40-38. Nobody thinks you're terrible, but everybody's sort of frustrated that you're not better. The team that, let's go back to the, not my comments, but what John Mozeliak and Mike Schilt and Bill DeWitt and everybody said about this team, they felt really good. Let's listen to what we said in February, March, opening day in Milwaukee. This was their standard. They thought it would be a really good team, and so far it hasn't been. By their standard, it hasn't lived up.
And you hate to continue, but you have Mozeliak a week ago talking about the pressure, whether it be from the fan base, organization, baseball writers, social media, about some of the trades and questionable trades he makes, making trades just to make trades. I know you have Schilt saying the fans people don't appreciate the brand of baseball. That, to me, they're just picking battles at the complete worst possible time. Tommy Pham's about to be an all-star, and you say you made that trade because of the pressure that they were feeling. I mean, I don't mind the comment that they're saying. It's just the timing of it. You have the fan base on the brink there, and you're just kind of pushing them over the edge with these little subtle comments. And they take them the wrong way. The fan base is very passionate, and that they should be.
But what was, and maybe David Solomon would know, I was not down there yesterday. I don't know what the question was, because it starts as sort of an answer about the Blues being there and an indication that Craig Berube would like talk to the team or fire the team up. I need to find out what the exact question was, because he begins with the Blues and their comparison. And I've never considered him to be defensive. He's a real positive, upbeat guy. Matheny got crushed for that. On the whole, managers tend to be positive towards the media about their team. They're not going to bury him. But I didn't think he would ever be that defensive. I just think it's a bad look for a team that right now is not that exciting. I'm sorry.
Splashback Deuce, that rant is the most interesting thing to happen at Busch Stadium in the past week.
past week?
Hey, Mike, by the way, everybody thought that those comments weren't boring. Maybe he's lashing out at Chris Bryant. All right, number two, I believe this is. Five for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University. So Mike Schilt, as an optimist, reminds you of whom? Any other coach or manager? Does he seem Vermeil-esque? Does he seem Matheny-esque?
I mean,
just being overly positive?
Parts of each. I mean, just think of the positive vibes we've gotten from especially Mike Matheny. I mean, he would defend his players to the end, and we think, what do you know? He just seems really similar to that.
All right, number three, you are John Mabry. Do you feel vindicated in any way? Because the hitting is a major issue with this team right now. And it's a better lineup, you'd have to argue, with Goldschmidt in there than it was a year ago.
The two most knowledgeable baseball people I know personally really well are Andy Van Slyke. You're third. Andy Van Slyke and the commish. And they both basically said the hitting coach and that role, you know, what you do is you have a positive attitude, you get there early, you stay late, you work hard, you develop relationships. And then it's up to the guy when he gets in the box to hit the freaking ball. You don't blame the hitting coach. It's, you know, there's only so much these hitting coaches can do with the raw material given.
It's got to be worse. And when they made the move, I think we all felt there needed to be some sort of shakeup. And I think John Mabry, you're fired as the hitting coach. It looks like they're blaming you as the hitting coach. I think part of that, we all realize, was the allegiance to Matheny and that they were, quote unquote, a package deal. And it happens. Guys get fired. But it's got to be harder for him. Because he lives here, still lives here, played for that team on two or three occasions. I bet, and I have not talked to him, I think Rich Gould spoke with him right after he got fired, and he just politely declined. You probably heard from the same thing.
He didn't even talk when things were going well. Right. He's not going to talk now, and he's too classy of a guy to lash out at the Cardinals.
All right, number four, Five for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University. To get to 90 wins, guys, all right, remember we started...
oh, boy.
But didn't we do this on Monday? Can I sell you on going 50 and 33 the rest of the way? Probably.
No shot, yeah. I mean, if you got Mike Schilt on a lie detector right now and said, Mike, can you get to 90 wins going 50 and 33? I wonder what he really... If he answered
life
yes,
depended on it.
That thing would go back and you know, there's no way.
Mo's, well, that's going to take some doing. But maybe in this division, it doesn't matter. I mean, maybe it's just a weird year where everybody...
You're right.
Maybe they're beating up on each other. Maybe it's a weird year where 85, 86, or does 87 win? Last year they won 88, correct?
Can yeah, I, can that I, seems...
All right, can I sell you on 48 and 35? Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Who knows, right?
Even if the starting pitching got really straightened out and Waka was for real and Michaelis did figure this thing out and Flaherty keeps, you know, stops giving up so many home runs... You still got this offense that one out of every three or four games, they're going to get five or six hits.
I mean, you had a Wainwright start last night. You should win that game.
Yeah.
You're at home. Wainwright goes 6 2/3, gives up 2 earned, and he's really good when he pitches at Busch. And I think we got to be fair to him. If he's a fourth or fifth starter, he's pretty good. I think people just think of him as a ace, and he's not. He's not being paid that way anymore. He's being paid... His expectation for the team is to be a fourth or fifth starter. In that role, he's actually pretty good.
Absolutely, he is. And you know what I felt was really amazing last night is that this pitcher, Daniel Megden, was just promoted Wednesday from Class AAA in Las Vegas, okay? So he allows four hits in six innings. His last appearance for Las Vegas was 11 days ago at Memphis, where the Redbirds carved him up for 5 runs in 4 1/3 innings. We should have brought our Redbird line.
Let him face Memphis next time. All right, number five. Five for Frank. The closer during the final week of the season will be who?
Boy, somehow I think Carlos is not going to be there at the very end.
Doesn't it feel like even the last couple of years we've had different people? The Bud Norris is for a minute, and then De Leon for a minute.
Does it really matter, though? Can you just do a closer by committee and fix some of the other holes in the roster, like maybe getting more than 2 runs, maybe getting out of the fifth inning as a starter?
That's what I just see it being just desperate that maybe Carlos has to go to the rotation. I just have a feeling it's not Carlos.
Yeah.
Yeah. It might be something weird like Ponce de Leon. I have a feeling they're going to be mixing and matching the rest of this season.
Yep.
Maybe Andrew Miller's too valuable in that hybrid role, and it could be John Gant. Who knows?
All right, five for Frank. Every day, 11 o'clock hour, it's brought to you by Greenville University. And I'm curious, too, people's response to the Mike Schilt. I call it a mini rant. I mean, I don't think he's ever going to raise his voice and be yelling. But does anybody think... Maybe it was a good idea. Maybe he is trying to get a little jolt using the media. I'm not sure that that's his style, and it wasn't exactly a profane rant.
Yeah.
But he definitely defended his team. I don't think they were doubting that he had their back.
It's interesting because all of this is a moot point if just one thing happens. If Carpenter and Goldschmidt hit this summer like they did last summer, then all of a sudden – you're a really good team, and you win the division, don't you think?
Yeah, and he might say, I told you so, but I don't think there's this big outcry. There's no column saying to fire the hitting. Most people don't even know who the hitting coach is. Nobody's saying Schilt's got to go. I don't think, Twitter, yes, negative. It's negative about everything. But I would hope that he's not on Twitter. I would encourage him not to be on Twitter. And when we talk about it on the radio, do we say the team's a little boring, the games are a little boring? We have. But I don't think that's a outlandish statement watching them night in and night out.
That, like if you were to say on Twitter, Martin Kilcoyne today went to Holy Redeemer School and passed out school supplies that he paid for kids that needed help with, you know, school supplies and books. There would be some type of negative slant to that tweet. You know that?
That's why I won't do it. I'm not. That's why I've given up on charity, because yeah, it'll be misinterpreted. And
yeah,
I want to do all these.
Oh, he's just doing it for.
I want to do all these great things, but boy, I just know I'll get crushed for it. So what's the point?
Oh, I read the headline: the fluorescent light, so the school shined down on your bright teeth and temporarily blind.
Yeah,
three kids.
Wonder what kind of car he drove to get there.
He was at Holy Redeemer. He used the backup camera and he backed into somebody. Jerk.
Twitter. All right, let's take a break. Oh, before we go to break, Dr. Michael Jones, 855-260-EYES. He performs eye exams to LASIK and custom cataract surgery. If you want to get rid of the glasses, the contacts forever, there's no better place to go than Quantum Vision Centers. Dr. Michael Jones, 855-260-EYES. Maryville sponsors the phone lines. Go to maryville.edu for more information. Maryville, one of our great sponsors. We'll be right back.